11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And we talked a little bit earlier about Kurt Benkert's departure. His was not the only one in sports in Wisconsin over the weekend. Jesse, are you a Low Kane guy?
Yes.
Is he one of your favorites?
He is one of my favorite players, yeah. Loved him when he came up and was playing center field in 2010. And then he got traded to the Royals in the Greinke deal. Was great in Kansas City.
Right. Won a World Series, right?
Yep. And have loved him since he's been back in Milwaukee for the last few years, too.
And now he's... We won't disrespect him by bringing in Dunzo.
Nah, he doesn't deserve that.
He deserves better. No doubt about it. I agree. But he is done. He was designated for assignment. And while it's possible he could continue to play, he's most likely going to retire. But... You know, we're talking about Goody and what a great guy he is and great GM. David Stearns, now, again, I noticed this on social media, which is not real life, but, man, it's a cesspool sometimes. So the Brewers held off on designating him for assignment for several days so he would get to 10 full years of service time in the majors, which changes his... how much he makes as his pension. So it alters that amount, which, again, I understand he's made a lot of money playing baseball, but you don't know what his future holds. That is a really nice gesture. Jesse, though, this was not a... Even I was aware that he was trending in this direction, right? I mean, he's had some injury issues over the years. His productivity has dropped. But he is maybe one of those sneaky, underrated fan favorites. Again, who had more production than Kurt Benkert, right?
A lot more production than Kurt Benkert, yes. I mean, winning a championship in Kansas City and being a big part defensively in a couple of great Brewers teams, including just a couple of years ago in 2018.
Can I ask a quick question? What on earth are we comparing Kurt Benkert to Low Kane for?
Only because they both departed their teams at the same time, and I was just segueing.
Okay. I was going to say, what the hell's wrong with you? But now that you say that, okay.
I appreciate you not saying, what the hell's wrong with you?
Do you think there are fans right there listening to us right now that are more upset about Kurt Benkert getting cut than Lorenzo Cain? I think there's anybody that feels that way right now?
Yes. I do.
Yeah.
Wow. Because he was nice to them
on social
media. Does Benkert
and his wife and family listen? Otherwise, no.
So, Jesse, was this something that, being the Brewers fan that you are, and again, they took 2 of 3 against the Reds. We'll talk to Jeff Levering coming up here. But they're back tied for first place after all those that losing streak that they had. But was this something that you were expecting? And had he reached the end of the road and you kind of knew it, or were you still a little bit disappointed or surprised that they weren't just going to keep carrying him even though he wasn't playing?
Yeah, you knew Lorenzo Cain wasn't Lorenzo Cain like he used to be anymore. I didn't think this was going to happen mid-season, so it was a little bit of a surprise to me when I saw the news come through on Saturday, but you knew that it was nearing the end of the road. When Cain came back to Milwaukee in 2018 and signed the deal that he did, you kind of knew this was going to be like, it'd be great if he could get to the end of the deal, and he almost did. So the fact that he got as close as he did to fulfilling all of that when he came back and helped lead them to the NLCS and what could have been a World Series run, if not for Puig in Game 7, totally worth it, first of all. Mm-hmm. And will always be a fan favorite Brewers player. He won't reach the level of Robin Gallant. He won't reach, you know, Euchre's untouchable. There's certain people that he'll never be in the same category as an all-time great Brewer, because his best days were in Kansas City. But he will forever be a Brewers player that will be remembered very fondly for all the really great moments. The opening day game-winning catch over the wall against the Cardinals a couple of years ago... One of the amazing regular season moments in Brewers history. A really cool one that will be remembered always. So, yeah, great player, fan favorite, not an all-timer, but a really, really, really good guy.
Yeah, I think you have to say to the Milwaukee Brewers as an organization, kudos for handling it the way they did. I think they communicated well with Lokane, and to take care of a player that has given you as much as they have, where you could easily, you know, it's a small market team, you could, you know, cut him early and not allow him to be fully ready for the pension and everything else. So that should be the norm, but it's not. And I think you tip the cap to the Milwaukee Brewers as an organization for doing the right thing, because that stuff gets noticed by players. And for as difficult as it is for Yelich and for some of these other players that have grown up and watched Lokane do what he's done in the clubhouse, I think the fact that this was handled in such a professional and right way, I think gives the Brewers organization a lot of goodwill moving forward with its relationships with its players.
All right. I want to get to Jeff Levering on time, because Jesse has all kinds of questions for him and wants more career advice, as he always gets when Jeff joins us. But the point you just made, and then I think back to the conversation a couple weeks ago with Don Majkowski.
And then how they treated Benkert. I think we should all be outraged with how they treated Benkert.
I think
the Green Bay Packers, that is.
They gave him an opportunity to catch on elsewhere. It was very thoughtful of them. My question, though, is why isn't this more the norm? Like, the Brewers, and we're talking about it, and I read the story in the Journal Sentinel about it, and they are getting praised for doing this for Lokane, and rightfully so. Why isn't this more commonplace? The reason it stands out is because they did it. Because you guys are commodities, right? Players, that's what you are. Mm-hmm. That's why.
For sure. Yep.
And you're well
compensated.
Well, and
it's gotten better. Hey, it's gotten a lot better. I think organizations are understanding, A, they're going to get called out and vilified if they don't do things the right way. But it is. I mean, it's the little dirty secret that is players are commodities, and you want to treat. I don't think there's any organization that is sitting there saying to be spiteful unless they've been spited. They're not out there to bury people, but they're also there to save money and to make decisions that are in their best interest, and that can come off as cold-blooded and cold-hearted from time to time. But when you're in a position to do things the right way, do it the right way. That's not hard.
Yeah.
The Brewers just did the right thing, and I think it's going to be a very beneficial thing for them for doing it the right way, not cutting him 3 days earlier and not being on the hook for such and such and blah, blah, blah. Kudos to the Milwaukee Brewers for how they handled it.
All right, well, I will, when it comes to cold, there's cold-blooded, there's cold-hearted, but more importantly, there's cold filtered and there's cold Blue Mountains on your can of Coors Light. Am I right?
You are right. You know, it was nice making that drive. I drove through Golden, Colorado. I've been saying celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I lived it.
Wow.
I was out there, and you know, I tell you that the mountains are blue. The mountains are still snow-capped and white, so you know you're getting the best brew from Coors Light, because it's right from the Rockies, people. Coors Light brew to the three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's made to chill, because I literally saw the snow. I see the, it is beautiful. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, it turned blue. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. And guess where I was this weekend, people?
Golden Colorado.
Wow. Yeah. I was in Golden,
so,
too.
So, you know Tausch is serious. Like, Tausch is very authentic, but you know he's really serious when he drops in a people. They're snow-capped people. The mountains, people.
Well, I have to admit.
Come on, B, people.
Hey. Honest to God, they don't do air conditioning in Aspen. Like, we stayed at a house-slash-condo type deal. Air conditioning. And I'm thinking, it's 90-some degrees, people. What the heck? It ain't. No air conditioning out there in Aspen.
All right, people.
So then I started thinking, well, should I turn around? And should I say I'm not going to go because there's no air? No. No, you're gonna go live it, and you get the air coming in at
old
night.
Old T's going. Yeah.
You haven't told us how the food was yet, which is notoriously the number
all right,
one.
People. It's fair. That's a very good point. We'll get to that.
They got a lot of Christinis. You know the Crescent City, which I don't know. Is the Crescent City Nolens? Aspen should be the croissant or the Christini City. Christinis everywhere.
We were so close to getting to Jeff Leverick on time. And then you a good joke, because he talks about food being the number one decider on whether your trip was great or not.
That is not what I said, by the way. I said it can make or break, is what I said.
I'm sorry, those sound like synonyms to me, but we don't have time to argue, people.
Because
we got to talk to Jeff Levering, who joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.